Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the jackiewoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies or qualities that make up our internal essence. By doing that, by getting to know who you are on the inside, you can live from the inside out. And by living from the inside out, you can let your heart claim control over your choices and your creations. Each week, if you have signed up for the heart energy, on Saturday morning, bright and early, you will get a heart energy with a little quote. The one for this week is flow. It's an energy that a lot of people are interested in. And the little quote is, flow is the river that connects us all. And I should have put in there, it is the energetic river that connects us all. That word should be in there because that's what it is. We are all connected, we're all one, and this energy flows between us at all times. It's a river that connects us all at all times. But when you live from the inside out, you get to choose how that river or that connection impacts you, and you get to choose what you're connecting with. You have choice. Otherwise, you are just a victim of everything that's coming at you. So, let's talk about flow. Everyone likes this subject. You know, when I was thinking about this energetic river, what came to mind was a time when this has happened to me a lot. Let me preface it with that. But a time when this happened was a time when I had gone away to the mountains. I lived in Atlanta at the time. I'd come up here to North Carolina mountains to relax a bit and have a break, and I really needed the letdown time. And so I told my sons to only let me know if it was an emergency. Well, they called and said, there's an emergency. Some woman called who was just hysterical, saying you had to help her, that her husband had died. And I said, did she give a name? Well, no, she was too upset. She didn't leave her name, and she just left it on the answering machine, and she didn't leave a number. And I went, oh, terrific. That's so helpful. And, of course, because I have an intuitive gift, people just think, okay, I'm just going to tune in to everybody and everything. Well, I need something to tune into. I was not the one receiving that message. It came through my son, so I had nothing to tune into other than just, it's a message. So I went ahead and walked the trails and sat and meditated and sat in the energy of the mountains for the day and renewed, and went to my room that night, and I couldn't get her out of my mind. I had dismissed it, saying, okay, there's nothing I can do about this. But I couldn't quite dismiss it because this was somebody calling me in great need. So I could feel, the feeling was with me all day, that feeling of unrest. And so I went into my feeling, and through my feeling, I focused with intent on her feeling. And I got in touch with her feeling. And as I tell my students over and over, if you'll go through a feeling, you'll get to the heart. Well, I went through the feeling, and it pulled me right out of my body and pulled me towards her, out of my body, floating out of my body. Now, I was in North Georgia. She was in South Florida. I traveled that distance out of body, and I looked down and went, oh, my gosh. And I saw who it was. And so I went back and got in my body and called her. And that was the beginning of my being able to help her. But it was that energetic flow that connects all of us, that even though I didn't get the message directly with a phone number and a name, I was able energetically to find that. Now, all of you don't travel out of your body consciously like I do, But that energetic connection is still there. Had I not even gotten her name to call her, I would have been able to help simply by going through that emotion and getting to the heart energy of comfort that she was needing. So that's kind of a unusual story, but those things happen to me all the time. So to me, it's not unusual. So just take it that for one that travels around in space, I know how this energy stuff looks and works. Okay, Russ.
That's a good story. I like that it emphasizes flow on many levels. And I'm, as we go along, going to talk about several levels. But the first and most obvious one that came up to me that I have a story around is kind of the cliched one, and it's around money. A lot of people think of monetary flow as a big component of flow. And I'm glad that you put in that there's emotional flow and the energetic flow on other levels to sort of counterbalance that, because I don't want to be one-dimensional. It is much more than just money. But it's easy to see for me in the flow of money. It's a good, it's like when they take an x-ray of you and they inject dye into your veins so that they can kind of see. It shows your flow very well, I think, looking at money. So I'm going to preface my story a little bit too. Whenever I give to charity or tithe to our mission here at Ottawahee, or do any sort of work where I really want my money to carry my intention, I always have a little visualization that I do before I sign the check or put my money in the donation box or whatever. And it involves me as like a little boy. You know, little boys make paper boats and sail them down the road when the rain comes and ever the gutters fill up. And, you know, I did that many times as a kid with little leaf boats and stuff. And I always imagine that some little boat has come to me and I've picked it up and taken whatever gift it brought me. And then I wrote a little note of my own or something and put it on the boat and put it back in the water and sent it on away. That flow has always sort of felt like that to me, that something comes to you, you take what you can from it, you add your piece, and then you send it on to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was thinking of that, a story came to me. And I've told this a lot. If you live around here, you've probably already heard this story because I was very impressed. But somebody gave me a $20 bill for one of the activities that we do here at Ottawahee, and I made some change for them. This was about a month ago, I guess. And one part of the change was a $10 bill. And I gave them the $10 bill, and they said, well, you know, don't cry too much. That $10 bill is coming right back to you tomorrow because I've got a massage with you. And I said, okay, well, I'll be watching for it. And sure enough, the next day they brought me that same $10 bill back. And I noticed that it had some lines on it. You know, sometimes somebody runs a pen across it or something. So it was distinguishable. I could tell it was the same $10 bill. So I took that $10 bill as part of the payment for my massage service. And then later that day, I did my little trick of blessing the money and putting it in our donation box as part of my donation. Well, all that money gets sent to my wife eventually. She does a lot of the accounting work for us and makes the deposits. And she calls out the small bills to use as change in our store. So that bill got sent to the register at our health food store that we have here on campus. Later that week, I bought something at the health food store. That same $10 bill came back to me as change. I kept it in my wallet for a while. I eventually gave it to one of my clients as change for a $100 bill that they gave me. I lost track of it after that. I don't know if it's still bouncing around in our community, but I watched it for a while bounce around, and I realized that if each person that money came to did what I did and had some intention behind it and blessed it and added their little bit to the boat in the river and then sent it on to the next person, that by the time it made it back to the bank or whatever and was sent on out into the rest of the world, it would have been really charged up with lots of intention and lots of energy, and the flow that would come to somebody if they were to receive that $10 bill would be amazing. That each time the person, if they are intentional about it and blesses their money, is sending it on with a greater and greater charge. And so that money in that way, if you think of it as a visual indicator of flow, shows us how our flow builds up and passes from person to person.
Mm-hmm. I have not heard that story.
Oh, well.
So good. No, I have not. You know, I remember your brother telling me one time he had gotten a job designing and building this real fancy counter for a store that was opening. It was a curved counter.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady, somehow they had a misunderstanding. She got mad and wouldn't pay him for the work he had done after he had put all this time in on this counter. And so he had put his energy in. And I'm talking about an example, showing an example about how you can stop flow.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was upset that she wouldn't pay him. It's not like he's wealthy or anything. He needed the money. And I was upset. I said, well, what are you going to do? You could take it to a small claims court. And he said, you know, I really did get to receive and empower a lot of creativity here. He said, this was a challenge for me, but it was stretching my creativity, stretching my ability. And he said, I put some really good energy into it. And he said, I'm not going to block it by fighting with this woman. It will come back to me. So I asked him a couple months later, I said, well, did that energy come back to you? And he said, yeah, I got the neatest job after that. And they gave me a bonus because they liked my work so much. So that's the pass it on that mm-hmm. you're talking about. And that reminded me of his story, and that he could have blocked it by just staying angry at this woman and fighting with her. And he was angry, but he let that anger go, went through that, as I said, go through that, flow through that to the heart. And, mm-hmm. and he was able then to send that energy that he was on out through his little boat, through the energy river that I talk about.
Yeah.
And it was able to flow back to him.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I like that.
So when I was meditating on this, and for all of you that are listening, some of you have trouble with the meditation part, don't give up. Keep trying. There's many, many ways to meditate. If you just get yourself quiet, if you don't have any pictures or great revelations, if you can just learn to quiet your mind and quiet your emotions and relax your body, you have made progress. For people that have a lot of trouble quieting their mind, visualize something. Give your mind something to do. Give it a visualization, a pretty field or a beautiful flower garden or some place where you go every day that you can visualize. It helps your right brain to have a picture, and it gives your mind something to do. If your emotions keep getting in the way, visualize a box and put those in there, or write them down on a real piece of paper and in a very safe place, burn them up, so that your unconscious mind is saying, okay, we want to clear a space to make room for the heart to speak. Now, the heart may not speak to you in that moment very clearly. You may have to draw a heart energy card that we do sell on our website to just give you the energy of the day. You can get your energy that way. Sometimes it comes to you in a word. Sometimes it comes in a picture. Sometimes it's just the knowing. Sometimes you read your script of the day before, and it's pretty obvious what energy you need to be that day. There's lots of ways to get an energy, but by getting an heart energy for the day, you get to know what part of your spirit needs to have an underline under it. What needs the emphasis? And so by emphasizing the part of your spirit that needs to express that day, you begin to empower who you are and empower your heart for extraordinary living. That's what we're all about. So do try to meditate with us. We meditate every morning from 6:30 to 7 if you want to join that time, or you can do it any time you wish. And then come to our website. You know what? We sent out a questionnaire, and we got back a good response, and we're very grateful for that. But a lot of people said they just don't have time to meditate and listen to the show. A lot of people do have time, but a few said they didn't have time. This is the one thing you make time for. This is the one thing you make time for, because otherwise all of your doing doesn't have that energetic flow of who you are in your heart, letting your spirit flow from heaven to earth. It doesn't happen unless you consciously say, okay, my intent today is to bring my heart, or let my spirit speak through everything I do. So I don't want to get sounding like an evangelist here, but that is important. And then you can click on submit a question on our homepage and let us know what your experience has been. Okay, I'll stop. Would you like to talk about your picture for a while that you got?
Yeah. Another point I want to make about meditating, I loved the way you put that. Meditation is the thing that, you know, it all flows out of. If you don't know who you are, then you have nothing to bring to your life.
Nothing to bless that money with.
Yeah, everybody wants to fix all their problems, but you can't address the areas where you're not strong unless you're pretty clear on what you have to bring to those. Mm-hmm. And that's what meditation does for you. It gets you clear on who you are around a particular subject. And that's sort of what I used it for this morning when I did my meditation, because I received the email, what is it, Friday or Saturday that it goes out?
So Saturday morning.
I've known for a couple of days now that we were going to be talking about flow, and I had already been thinking about that story with the money because it's been a current, recent train of thought for me. But I set out this morning to say, okay, well, what is the theme behind that story? What does that tell me about who I am? And that's what meditation is really good for. You can talk directly to your unconscious mind, and it knows what the theme of the energy is, not just all the experiences you've had around it. And so I ask, what was the theme of my piece of flow that I described in that story? And what came to me was a picture of the human circulatory system. You know, like I'm looking at a fluoroscope or an MRI or something. I get to see inside a person's body, and I see all the blood flowing to the lungs and then back to the heart and then down to the body and through the kidneys, and I'm just kind of watching all this blood flow in the circulatory system. And the more I was with that, the more it came to me that the important theme for flow, for me, my individual theme around it, is that flow works both ways. It brings you what you need to work on, but it also carries away the waste products. All the stuff that you're done with just flows away from you. And then the next piece that you need to empower or celebrate or learn a little more about flows to you. So that it has that dual action of bringing the goods, the nutrients in, and taking the waste products out. All the stuff that you're done with, that you're ready to pass it on to the next person, you've given it your piece, you're finished with it, you put it back on the river, the boat floats away from you. And then another boat comes down the river and it's got the next new piece. So the circulatory system for me, that picture sort of epitomized that idea that flow is that full cycle, stuff coming to you and stuff going away from
mm-hmm.
you.
Because if you stand in a river, the water's going to come towards you and go away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I was meditating this morning on the energy of flow, and my picture was an answering machine and a telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, I have to go to my left brain for a good bit of understanding to get what that was. But I had been teaching some of the adults, but all of our children, to look at every interaction containing a resonance, where, you know, where the hearts are directly resonating all the way down from the heart all the way into the expression. You could feel that it was a heartful living from the inside out, or a contribution. And that's where the other person is wounded, and they're not joining you all the way down, but you know their heart's there trying to say something. So they're a contribution. If you acknowledge their heart but not their pattern, you still have a contribution.
They trigger something in you, but they don't join you in it.
Right. And then there's I called it a zilch, where there's not a resonance or a contribution, but it's really where there's a wound in you. So you're not experiencing anything but the wound. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that came to me as I looked at my picture. When you have the answering machine, you have a contribution. You know, it's not a direct conversation, but you can pick up something.
Right.
And then there's when you pick up the phone, you have the direct resonance.
Uh-huh.
And then when you just get a disconnect, you don't talk to them or leave a message. Uh-huh. So those were the three things I have been teaching to our children, and they made a journal of it for the last 2 weeks and handed it in to me. It was so impressive. It was so very impressive that I asked them to check 10 times during 10 interactions during a day. And one of our houses did that too. 10 interactions during the day and check to see, are you having an answering machine experience or a telephone experience or a disconnect, which is a resonance, a contribution, or are you in a wound, which I call a zilch. There's nothing happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Except you're aware of your wound. So that picture just really brought all of this lesson that I'm teaching up for me big time. It made it so much clearer than all the words I had been trying to say about it. And that's what pictures do.
Yeah.
They can say more than a lot of words. But I really encourage, one of the things on the questionnaire was, what do you want more of? Well, they wanted more of every day, how do I apply it to my life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is an every day, how do you apply it to your life?
Uh-huh.
If you took 10 people or 10 interactions every day and you just made a little note, you can carry one of those little bitty notebooks along with you, you know, those little 2x1 inch things or whatever they are, 2x3 or whatever, and you just put down, okay, this was the resonance, an R, or this was a contribution. They didn't really join me all the way down, but their hearts always, I know they have a heart. I acknowledge there is a heart energy there. Or a wound.
Mm-hmm.
So you just put an initial, but then you put the energy of the resonance. You put the energy of the contribution and just a straight line with the wound. Or if you know what your wound is, you can put that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can put the person's name, and at the end of the week, the children did this, and at the end of the week, it was amazing. In one house where the children lived, there was one person who was the dominant resonator. That meant they were really living, walking their talk.
Mm-hmm.
And there were several people that were contributors. And there was one person that was the wound activator for everybody. Now, you know, that's not an easy script to agree to, to be the wound activator for everybody. But some people have to be there because we have to have our wounds activated to heal them. So, yes, my picture really helped. And I hope people who've been doing this are listening. And people that haven't been doing it will try it. If you're wanting a baby step or you're wanting an everyday application, there here is one.
An application that came to me was brought up by something that happened to me this weekend. My entry into heart quality can be through the mental understanding of the theme that I got so that I know who I am around that. It can come from just sort of following that picture that we get in our meditation, or sometimes it comes to me just from feeling the feeling. And the feeling of flow for me is that feeling of sort of being carried by the current. You know, athletes talk about being in the zone or going with the flow. And it's that feeling where you know that you don't have to think about it too much. You just kind of do what comes natural and you feel that you're being carried along by the current. And that was the feeling that I stuck with this weekend, because I had a incident where my truck that my wife and I share died, the starter's having problems, and it just died on the side of the road. And it took me back to, I haven't had serious car problems in a long time, but when I was in my teens and 20s, cars were the bane of my existence. They were sort of how I worked out my issues with the world. If I was mad, my car would overheat. If I was, pushing myself too hard, my car would have a flat tire. It was just the dumping ground for all the unfelt feelings and the uncleared issues and all the mental turbulence that was going on inside of me. I didn't access those well. I hadn't learned how to journal yet. I wasn't good at clearing my feelings. So my cars were the place where everything showed up. And I began to hate cars. They were the enemy. You know, they were just one more thing that could go wrong that would mean a $300 repair bill out of my pocket. And so I sort of saw them as the thing that was going to dam up my flow as opposed to part of the flow. But this weekend, I kind of went back to that place and I said, boy, I've changed since those years. What is it like to face this now, knowing that I'm a different person around flow? So I tried to apply that picture of the money, and that just didn't work. So I just went with that feeling of being carried by that current, and I just felt that feeling as I was working on the car and trying to make some phone calls and figure out what it would take to get it towed and that sort of thing. I just stuck with that feeling. And you know, it helped. It really got me to the place where I remembered why I had hated cars, that I thought of them as, it got so bad that for 2 years I parked my car somewhere and never drove it. I let the insurance expire. I hid the keys somewhere so I wouldn't be tempted to drive it. And I just walked and I took the bus and I rode my bike just to get away from the car. And in that 2 years, it got me to the place where I appreciated what cars did. You know, they showed me where I was not feeling my feeling. They showed me where I was stuck in mental turbulence and not working through it. And by appreciating them as part of the flow, I got to the place where I said, okay, I think I can drive the car again without dumping all of my issues into it. And so I sort of relived some of that this weekend. And the thing that helped me was just sticking with that feeling of being carried by the current, being in the zone, just not having to make this work, just seeing where it led, knowing that I was going to be carried along by that flow instead of having to fight everything that came up as a potential problem, as something that was going to dam up my flow. And so it that feeling carried me through this weekend, and it helped me remember my previous lesson on why I decided to start driving the cars again.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, but when we come back to this subject, I really want to talk a little bit, so remind me if I forget, about that whole feeling who you are thing. That's very important. Our sponsor is NatureCare. And NatureCare is the maker of feminine hygiene products. But they're not just feminine hygiene products. They are organic and plant-friendly feminine hygiene products. They make it possible for you women to have a healthy choice when buying tampons, pads, liners, and wipes. Because most people today, and particularly people that are heartful and listening to a heart show, examine labels to make sure that they're not taking harmful ingredients into their body. And they don't want to harm the environment. You know, they use clean cleaning products that are green products. They eat organic foods. But sometimes they forget to consider the necessity for purity with the feminine hygiene products that they use each month. Since these products touch you in the most sensitive of places, it's important, it's very important that they are pure. So support yourself, the planet, and the heart energy of purity by buying NatureCare products. Thank you, ladies.
All those feminine hygiene products end up straight in the landfills, too. Mm-hmm. So if we could sell something and buy something that is biodegradable and helps the planet at the same time, that's a wonderful thing.
It is. And what that company's doing, I fully support. And we need to support companies that support us.
Mm-hmm.
If they support our bodies and our environment, we need to support them. All right, we were going to talk a little bit more about the feeling part. You know, in feeling who you are, it's one thing to say, okay, I'm the energy of flow today, and I know what it means. And today I'm going to do my agenda of this, 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 and this activity and complete these tasks. And I know that somewhere in my mind that I have a concept of what I am as the energy of flow or who I am. That's good. But that provides a structure, a mental structure that you act from.
Mm-hmm.
And in that structure, you then define how you're going to do what you're going to do and all that with the intent of your mind holding that focus. However, to really flow through that, for your heart to have a channel to flow through that mental definition or that container of who you are into your task, you have to feel it.
Right, right.
You have to feel who you are. You know, it'd be like being in a relationship with somebody that you had no feeling for and saying, well, you're a really fine person, and I know that you have honesty and integrity, and I'm really glad you have those qualities. But if you don't have any feeling for them, there's no flowing with them. Exactly. There's no synergy or resonance, as I talked about, all the way down. It's just a contribution. It's just you're claiming that they have those energies, and so they're just by acknowledging that they have them, you're in yourself saying, well, if I can acknowledge them, I have them too. But you're not flowing together.
Yeah.
That feeling of it is important. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
And another point, the feeling will stick with you in the midst of something a lot better. Like, usually we don't think of heart qualities in the moment that we're having this huge problem. Oh, my car's broken down. Oh, that's so frustrating, you know. The feeling of the moment usually takes over. And at that moment, if you were to mentally think, oh, well, my energy today is flow, and my picture was of the answering machine or the circulatory system or whatever, it's really dry and really not comforting, and it's not going to stick with you in the face of all those raging frustrations. But if you can feel that energy, it'll somehow slide in there and help you move through the frustration much better than a dry mental picture.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We have a person that has joined us. It's Lisa from Little Rock, Arkansas. That was close to where I grew up. Does everyone have some amount of flow? What about homeless people or people with huge debt? You want to start with that, Russ?
Yeah, sure. Well, I don't know about homeless people or people with huge debt, but I can certainly say that flow is present whether or not you're claiming it. because I have a fairly large piece of flow, and my wife does too, and we both, as separate individuals, maintained checking accounts and had credit cards and had good flow, paid our bills on time, made good money. At one point after we were married, we decided to join our bank accounts, though, and realized after the fact that that while each of us had a big piece of personal flow, that as a couple, we had never developed any sense of who we were around flow and had never tried to exercise that and grow that up. So while it had big potential, it had very small application. And that potential created a huge hole in our bank account, it seemed like. There was a place where flow obviously should be, but wasn't. So we were sort of experiencing it in the photo negative. There was a big piece of it out there, but we hadn't learned how to claim it as a couple. We could each claim it individually. So we had to go back to basics and make a very strict budget and, you know, just do all the things that you have to learn to do when you're just starting out with your own money, learning to use a checking account and stuff like that. We had to be at that very, very basic beginner level as a couple for a while before we could claim that potential flow that was out there for us. So for a time, it seemed like we had no flow. But I don't think it was no flow in the absolute not present sense, but in the big potential, small actual sort of sense, so that it was showing up a lot as what we would call problems or lessons for us.
Well, that leads me back into my picture example that I'm asking people to take as a baby step with the answering machine, where they make a resonance or where they have a direct conversation or where they get the answering with phone to phone or they get the answering machine and they have just a contribution. I mean, they're leaving a message, but there's no one answering. Or we said if they're in wound, they have a disconnect. All of that determines your flow. You know, we do. I love your example because, yes, all heart energies are ours, and we can grow them individually. But when we learn that we are contributing and resonating with others, then it's like somebody offering you some money, and you'd say, no, I only have $5 for the week's food, but no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're doing when we don't accept the energy gift of flow. We're keeping ourselves in this little tube in the water of the river instead of saying, oh, and trying to wash in this little teeny tube rather than saying I have a whole river to wash in that's flowing past me.
Yeah.
So I would say that people that have huge debt and homeless people, it could be that that's a lesson they have to learn in this life. That's one answer. But another answer around that is that a lot of people cut themselves off from flow.
Uh-huh.
Because they're not doing the resonance, the contribution, or dealing with their wounds. And if they're not doing that, they're staying separate in their little energy flow. And yes, you have flow. You have flow from your heart down through your thinking and your feeling into your world. And if you don't have personal flow, you're not going to have flow with another person. I don't care how much you resonate in their heart. But if you do have personal flow, and then you can multiply that flow.
Mm-hmm.
So first you learn personal flow, and that's what we're trying to teach people on this radio show. And then secondly, you get to have interactive flow, where I call it synergy flow, where you get to have contributions, you get to have resonance all the way down, or you get to deal with your wound, which still opens up a space for flow.
Right.
I would like to remind people that we have lots of growth resources on our website. Go to JackieWoods.org. Of course, you're on it, but browse around and be sure and check out everything. But we like to recommend certain things that if you're interested in flow, there are two things that I would like to represent. The book Spiritual Energy Cycles is a very basic book that describes energy and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to participate in the energetic river of flow, then you need to know how energy works. And that book does. It has growth and manifestation, which is your inner flow, and then it talks about giving and receiving, which is your synergistic flow that I just talked about. And then the other thing is the Abundance CD. And this is a very lengthy CD for us because you and I usually have shorter ones, but this was such a big subject that it's a more lengthy CD than normal. But in the write-up, it says that abundance is a healthy giving and receiving cycle. It is that inclusion. I mean, you can have flow singularly, but if you really want to have abundance, you've got to learn how to have that energy connect with other people. So you're going to note 10 times a day whether it's a resonance, whether it's a contribution, or whether you're in a wound.
And you're going to follow the feeling whenever you get stuck.
And yes, and if you're in a wound, it's because you're stuck and the feeling isn't there to follow.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to add anything to that about either of those products?
Well, I just, you know, when you were talking, the thing that jumped out at me is the Abundance CD, the healthy giving and receiving cycle. That goes back to my picture of the circulatory system, where flow brings you the next piece you're supposed to work on. You add your little bit to it and you send it on. Once you can't use it anymore, it's waste product for you, but it's the next piece for somebody else. So it's that giving and receiving. You know, you receive it in, pay it forward sort of thing.
All right. Bill from Orlando, Florida has contacted us again. He says, I'm in sales and business is down. I feel like my success as a salesperson is dependent upon others and their flow. Is in that way, they will place orders with me once they have flow. And if they don't place orders, then it affects his flow. Is that true? I hear him basically saying, do other people's flow affect you?
Right.
You want to start or you want me to?
This is a problem that comes up for a lot of people because they want to apply these ideas to their life. They like the idea of living from the inside out, but they always want it to apply to, well, what if I don't have enough money? What if my relationship's in trouble? You know, how is flow going to help me? How is love going to help me? How can I just be this energy? And they always want to turn it into, how can I fix my problem? And that's difficult for us because we do want people to apply this stuff and we try and give them pieces that they can actually get moving with right now. You know, we call them baby steps. But at the same time, I want to emphasize that, you know, we don't believe in fixing problems. That a problem is basically showing you a place in your life where you're not claiming an energy.
Back to your car example of you and all of your car problems when you were younger.
Yes, exactly. Good point. If you're not claiming the energy there, then you need to focus on what you do have to bring instead of what you don't have to bring. If you just look at the problem and say, how do I deal with this? You're looking at what you don't have to bring. You need to get that focus back on what you do have to express in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And who you are that day is what you have to express. It's not what energy is needed to fix this problem. And if you look at it, search for hard energies that way, you're doing exactly what you said. You're looking at the empty hole instead of saying, well, who am I? And we call it bringing the Dharma to the karma. Who are you is exactly what's needed, even though you may not recognize it. You may, you know, a lot of people say, if I don't have money, I need flow or I need abundance. When maybe what they really need is structure.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe what they really need is generosity. Or maybe they need trust or faith. You know, whatever it is you need will be told to you. And it's a mental guessing game when you try to name an energy, like a TV show or something, game show, name the energy to fix the problem.
Yeah. And other people will point out to you these areas where you're weak and not bringing your energies. But that doesn't mean that they're in control of your life. Somebody else isn't in control of your flow just because their refusal to buy a product brings this issue to the surface for you.
Yes. And so I would say to Bill that what you're needing to do is to make sure that who you are each day is brought to each person you try to make a sale to. Now, whether they buy it or not, you are passing it on.
Yes.
Just like the 10 did come back to you, the $10 bill, but it's getting passed on to somebody else with a blessing.
Right.
So if you pass on who you are with a blessing to each person you meet, you can also be conscious that they're giving you a blessing too, even though it's not the order you may want. And you have that exchange.
Mm-hmm.
We have another email from Tammy in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I feel like my flow stops whenever I have a feeling that won't go away. What advice do you have for moving through bad feelings? Well, I'll start with this one since I didn't last time. This is what stops us a lot. And that it, when Russell was talking about you either feeling yourself as the heart energy, or if you're not, you're probably feeling a negative. And that negative indicates that you're in a wound. And we talked about the resonance, the contribution, or the wound. Well, if you're in the wound, then you're not going to have a contribution or a resonance. So you're not going to talk on the phone directly or have an answering machine. You're going to have a disconnect. Now, that wound not only stops you from having synergy flow between people so that your space of flow is bigger, but it stops you in your internal flow. So it's very important that if you have a negative feeling that won't go away, that you listen to it, and realize that, just like you said with the car problems, that it isn't a bad thing. It's just part of your process. So if you let it go, instead of, because bad feelings always say there's something that needs to be fixed.
Right.
So it feeds right back into the, you don't fix the problem. So if you feel the feeling and then say, okay, I'm going to let it go and I'll claim this energy that'll fix this feeling and this problem, then you're back to square one again. Mm-hmm. So you don't. You let the feeling go, and that letting that feeling go gives you a space to listen to the heart. When I talked in the beginning about meditating, how you need to let your mind be quiet, your emotions be quiet, your body be quiet so you can hear the heart. When your emotions are going blah, 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 you cannot hear the heart. Mm-hmm. So you have to just acknowledge it as part of this process and let it go. It's part of your flow. It's part of letting go of a wound. And when you let it go, you may have some memories of times when this same circumstance that's causing this feeling came up. And you can let those go too. Did you want to add anything to that?
I do. You know, like I said, we always try and work some baby steps into each show. And I've already said that I like the idea of sticking with the feeling to keep bringing you back to the energy when you're in the middle of that place where you're not the energy. But the two baby steps that occurred to me when you read that question about, you know, getting your emotional flow moving is that, number one, in any situation, you need a structure. If we're talking about getting your monetary flow going, like my wife and I, you may have to go back to a budget, a very strict structure. If you're talking about getting your emotional flow going, you may have to set a structure around like journaling at the end of the day. What did I feel today? You may set a structure with your meditating, like you talked about, getting a visual, going to your happy place or your field or whatever helps you quiet your mind. That if you are wanting to get flow going in a relationship, then you need some sort of definition with boundaries. Who are you? Who am I? Where do we touch? Those structures are the basis for flow. You're not going to have flow unless you have a structure. So that's my first baby step. Set some sort of structure for yourself. The second baby step would be appreciate what you have. That's the receive the money, bless it, send it on part. If you're not doing the blessing part, then your flow is not going to be very big. like I had to do with my car. I had to just not drive it for a while until I could appreciate what it was and see it as a method of transportation and claim, okay, I'm upset, and that's why the car was dying. It's not the car's fault. Car has been a faithful servant to me. I appreciate what it does. And when I could separate my peace and be happy that I had feelings and that I was not an emotionless robot, and be happy that the car was there to drive me around and be grateful for what they were instead of just hating them for what they weren't in the moment, then the flow could begin to move. So you have to have the structure, and you have to bring in the gratitude for what you have. And those two things will jumpstart any flow, whether it be emotional or financial or mental or whatever.
We have another email from Bob in Atlanta, Georgia. The financial crisis in Greece is having a negative effect on the world economy. Yet I see how we as a planet are coming together more to assist during this difficult situation. Seems like Greece's lack of flow is actually a positive thing. Can you comment on that? That's a really, really interesting point that Bob made.
Forward thinking.
Forward thinking, it is. Do you want to start with that?
Yeah, I think that plays in exactly to what we've been talking about. The idea that other people will point out to you what your flow looks like, whether that's them giving you money or asking for money in return for a service.
Or not buying your product.
Or not buying your product. These are just visual, concrete representations of what that river of energy that connects you to the rest of the world looks like right now. You see it in money exchanges. You see it in interpersonal emotional exchanges. You see it in your car breaking down. You see it in the world around you. But if you start blaming the world around you and saying, that person didn't buy my product, they're killing my flow, or my car broke down at the wrong time, it's killing my flow, then you're missing the point. These things aren't here to be in charge of your flow and be controlling of you. They're just showing you where you're blessing that flow, where you're structuring that flow, and where you're not doing those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's been interesting. So many of our questions have been around money, and we've really tried to emphasize to respond to about we've really tried to emphasize that there are physical ways to look at flow and deal with flow, because we're trying to answer some of those questions that were sent back with for the questionnaire and that were sent back to us asking us to do this. But I want to emphasize again that flow doesn't start in the physical.
Right.
And we read it in the physical. We read when an energy that isn't flowing needs to flow from the heart through the mental awareness, through the feeling of it into the physical. It just makes us aware of that, mm-hmm. and that's what you're saying. But flow manifests into the physical. But flow does not just happen in the physical. You've got to go back all the way through, and we've made that piece by piece clear. I just wanted to bring it all together at the end here, that we really are able to flow only when we are acknowledging the heart. And as I've said over and over today, you have personal flow, and as Russell made clear when he and his wife joined their bank accounts, it changed the flow to less,
uh-huh.
even though they had individual flow. But if you join together with somebody and you have a resonance, a contribution, or you're dealing with a wound, it may change the structure of your flow. It really didn't lessen your flow.
Uh-huh.
It's just that you had to restructure it. Because you both had the same amount, you just need to structure how it looked together.
Right.
So
right.
Joining with somebody, I don't want you to think that joining with somebody is going to lessen you, when synergy never does that. But it's going to expand you and change you, and that means you're going to have to redefine and restructure to make room for more. You are trying to hold the same structure with more flow.
Mm-hmm.
And you, as you synergize, you're going to have to redefine and restructure in any energy, because the flow between you that will come all the way through each of you will now be a synergy flow. Is that getting too deep and too complicated?
No, I love that. That's a good point, that as we said in the beginning, it's the energetic river that connects all of us. It is visible in the physical, but it doesn't start in your physical world. If you see a physical problem and you address it on that level, you're missing out. There's a deeper source where all of this is coming from, and it has to do with where you're letting that energy flow through you and where you're not. And what you see in the physical just helps you address that. My wife and I had greater flow together than we do separately, but we had to learn how to use it first.
Mm-hmm. And the physical told you that.
Yeah.
We have an email from Sarah in Charlotte, North Carolina. How do I feel an energy? Do you have baby steps for that? I think that a baby step for feeling an energy might have to come at first from remembering.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of have to prime the pump, so to speak, of our emotional body. If we're not used to feeling hard energies, we may have to remember, okay, I was generous back then at that circumstance in that time. And how did I feel? Well, now, feeling an energy doesn't come after we've expressed it. It comes while and before and while we're expressing it. But sometimes you have to remember what that was like. That sort of primes the pump. Now, that's not where you want to end up. You want to end up with all this flow of feeling your heart as it flows out of you. But the priming of the pump is sometimes remembering how it felt to activate your feeling.
Yeah, I would agree with that. A lot of times I have to work backwards. You do want to feel the energy in the moment as you're being it. But the easiest way to do that at first is to go back and remember a time when you were dead sure that you were in that energy. I did a peace meditation that was ongoing here on our campus for quite a while. And at the beginning of each meditation, I would go back and remember a particular evening spent on my back porch relaxing and watching the sun go down. And it was such a feeling of peace that I could always draw up that feeling by accessing that memory.
Mm-hmm. So, and it helps, you talked about journaling. It helps to go back and say, okay, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened today, and what did I feel?
Mm-hmm.
Just to activate that feeling part, because until we get really angry or really embarrassed or really fearful, until we live with our emotions sort of subdued,
mm-hmm.
and we don't really feel. So we have trained ourselves to not feel, so why would we all at once be able to feel the heart energy when we've trained ourselves not to feel?
Yeah.
And, you know, they say that there's so much on the television. There's just so much that comes at you. And radio, there's so much coming at you. And you go to the mall, and there's so much that comes at you that we've learned to just sort of tune it all out. Well, our emotions, we've learned to do the same thing. So a baby step might be just journaling each day. What did I feel? Okay. Thank you. We want to thank each of you for joining us here on Heart Matters, and we want to remind you that by letting your heart matter, you get to live life from the inside out. By letting your heart matter and living from the inside out, you have choices in your life rather than just being a victim of the energy that's coming at you. You get to put the energy out. You get to acknowledge the resonances. You get to be in charge. Thank you.